Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
I am coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good things and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and we do with money. We're reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Again, that's stewardship.com. Our phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. The phones are ready. We have Devin calling in from Marietta, Ohio. Devin, how are you?
Hi, Chris. How are you, sir? I'd just like to start by telling you something, and I'm going to start with saying that you guys have an amazing group of people down there in Nashville, and as a regular American citizen, I just wanted to say thank you very much for what you guys are doing. It's truly amazing.
Oh, thank you. It's super encouraging. Any of our callers really can start off our conversation like that. I'm all for it.
I think everyone should, Chris.
Oh, good. Bob, our producer, just said that he's thumbs up as well. How can I serve you today?
Yeah, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through my background first so you kind of have an idea about myself.
Okay.
All right. So when I was 18 years old, my dad, after I graduated high school, my father gave me Dave's book. Currently, I'm 24 years old. So every year I do my company match. It's a traditional IRA retirement plan, so I just do the match. And then I fill up the Roth IRA that I manage. The question is, the excess money that I have after that, because I fill it up relatively quickly,
mm-hmm.
should that excess money be put towards a brokerage account? Or should I be saving for a big down payment on a new house?
What do you have in savings, just in liquid cash?
I try to keep around $2,000 to $3,000 in liquid cash.
Okay. What's your income?
It ranges between $30,000 and $55,000 a year, because when I'm working for the company during the school year, I'm on a salary of $30,000, and then a lot of times I'll go and work for a big company for the summer as an internship.
Yeah.
And a lot of those internships in this field will pay sometimes up to $40,000 in 3 or 4 months that we're there. So
okay.
it's really a good deal. And the main question I had was regarding whether I should put the excess money into the brokerage or for the house, because I'm not 100% sure that I want to be with that company for, you know, 5 more years.
Right.
That's my question, sir.
Yeah, number one, I'd stay out of debt, because that's a really good thing. Number two is I'd build up your emergency fund to 3 to 6 months. Right now you're at $2,000 to $3,000. I would get that up to about $10,000.
Okay.
So I would do that. I would invest 15% of your income every month or every year, however you want to do it, however it's more convenient for you. But 15% needs to go towards long-term investing in retirement. Then after that, which is the nucleus of your question, I would put that down for a down payment. I would save it for a down payment on a home.
Okay.
There's tremendous money to be made in real estate when you can make money on the buy. When you've got money, you've got cash in hand. There's so few cash buyers out there, and you've got an opportunity 5-6 years from now to be able to buy a house in cash for as low as maybe even 60 cents on the dollar. Because you have cash. So make sure you're in a good opportunity when you're in a good spot when that opportunity comes around.
Yeah. So another thing I didn't tell you was this September I'll be completely done with my research for graduate school, and I'll be starting full time with them, and it'll be a large increase.
Yeah, I was assuming that, especially in your field, when you're about to get into a lot of wealth and you're about to be in a really good position. Just make sure you stay out of debt. You don't justify it ever. And Proverbs 21:20 says, you know, you need to be ready. In the house of the wise is choice food and oil. And so if you've got that money on hand when that opportunity strikes and you see that property for 70% of its value, you can jump all over that. And I would read Legacy Journey. That's Dave Ramsey's latest book. Make sure you read that. I'm actually going to send it to you. So when we get off the line, we're gonna just send that to you for free, and then you don't necessarily need that sent to you for free, but I'm gonna ask you to pay it forward. Whatever value that produces in your life, I want you to pay that forward to somebody and bless somebody else with the same knowledge and the same scripture and the same understanding that comes in that book. But you're about to be very, very wealthy, and it's important that you handle that very well. Okay, Devin?
Yes, sir. I thank you very much for your time today.
All right. Thank you. This email is from Krista. I'm 31. My goal is to retire by the time I'm 40. I've got $510,000 in investments. By the time I'm 40, I should have $800,000 in investments. Would that be enough to retire on? I just don't like my job anymore. I really would like to have a job I love. I just don't think there's one out there for me. Thanks. Krista, I'm a little bit concerned that you're calling what you do for a third of your life a job. Folks, if you're calling something a job, something's wrong. We need to be giving our life. We need to be stewarding our life, stewarding our skills, stewarding our leadership, our abilities for God. Remember, this is true stewardship. This is not just about finances. This is stewarding our energy. This is stewarding our gifts. This is stewarding our talents. This is stewarding our relationships. Please, please, everybody, do not go to a job. If you're going to a job, start looking. Look for something you can be passionate about. If you can't find something you're passionate about, find something that makes you angry, something that really messes you up. I'm angry the fact that America is currently 88% are living paycheck to paycheck or worse, that we are not positioned for our intentions, that the body of Christ has great intentions, amazing people, but being intentioned for ministry is nothing without being positioned for ministry. That bothers me. And so I've given my life to see what I can do to help. What is it, Krista, that is you're passionate about? What is it that makes you angry? What difference could you make in this world? Please, folks, let's not go to a job. Krista, I'm not harping at you. I'm harping at anybody who is currently just going to a job. Come on, folks. God has called us to manage this life for His glory. So I would start looking. Put yourself in a financial position where you can avoid risk, but slowly get into another profession, a profession that you're passionate about, a passionate where you're serving people. Maybe it's a profession that helps in an area that makes you angry, that upsets you. Melissa's on the line. She's calling in from San Antonio, Texas. Melissa, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Oh, I am very, very grateful. How can I help you?
Well, I have a son who recently graduated from college, and he was fortunate enough to get a job, and he starts out at $34,000 a year. At plan, he'll be at $44,000 a year. So they have commissions and a bonus structure.
Cool.
So we had a great conversation, and he said his company matches starting at 4% for a 401k and then up to 10%. It grows exponentially, or it grows, I guess, 1% each year until he hits 10% and then it caps out. And then they also offer him a 22% discount for stock purchases. And I've been encouraging him to go with a Roth IRA. And he says, no, that's not beneficial because his company has all of this other stuff for him. So we really debated, and I'm just curious to see what you would say.
Yeah. Does he have any debt at all?
He really doesn't. He has an apartment that's $900 a month, car insurance, and really his utilities. But he was very fortunate to have the Texas Tomorrow Fund. And my husband passed away in 2007 and left us significantly well off enough to take care of his college needs.
Good. Good. It's good. You graduate and you've got that anchor, you know, around your neck of $100,000 in loans. That is not a good way to start your adulthood. So,
right.
So we've got, you know, the way we want to do this in order is we want to take care of debt, and he doesn't have any. Next, you want to talk about savings. He needs to have 3 to 6 months in savings. For him, he needs to have about $9,000 to $12,000 in savings before he starts investing anything, before he starts investing in the matching, before he starts investing in a Roth, before he starts investing in any instrument. He needs to make sure he has a savings first, because we want to make sure he's out of debt now. And we want to make sure that whenever that curveball hits him, that he doesn't have to go in debt. because it's very difficult for you to get to those investments. You want to have liquid cash available. Then after that,
I'm so sorry to interrupt you.
It's all good.
I am a true follower of Dave Ramsey's plans. I love the baby steps. How do I convince this young man who is a finance, he has a degree in finance and accounting, how do I convince him that this is more important than, because he sees it as free money right now for the contribution to the 401k?
Mm-hmm. And does he even qualify right away? Because usually there's a six-month period or a year period before you qualify for these kind of programs.
Actually, he is with this company. It's really a stellar company. He's already filled out his paperwork. He hasn't submitted it yet, but I believe it's in 3 months. I think they have a three-month wait, and then he can start contributing to the 401k.
Mm, okay. Well, you really can't convince him. The way I would talk to him is say, listen, what you're not weighing, I know you're looking at this from a math angle, mathematically. And from a mathematical standpoint, you're going to get 6 more months or 4 more months of interest on this money. And then compounded over 40 years, it's a big deal. I understand mathematically. However, what you're not considering is what you don't even know yet, because you haven't even done life yet as an adult, is the whole idea of avoiding risk. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:20 that in the house of the wise is choice food and oil. And son, you have got to have money set aside for life when it hits you. I'm not always going to be there for you, and there's not always going to be the stash of money that's there for you. You've got to make sure that you've got this money set aside. It's liquid, it's available, it's accessible, and it's right there. It's insurance. And if you want to talk about mathematics, if you've got that money in a savings account and it's accessible and it is your insurance, well, then you can increase all your deductibles and all your insurance and pay less premiums. And so this money is good to have on the side. And then you can almost be a little bit more aggressive with your investing. Let's say you can only do 5% to begin with. Well, now because he has that savings, he doesn't have to be fearful, or not fearful, but just a little bit concerned about what if this happens or what if that happens. Well, he can up it to 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, all the way up to 15%. So that would be what I would explain to him. It's not just about math. It's about risk aversion.
And so about the Roth IRA, where do you see that fitting into his plan?
Yeah, I would do the matching first. The matching is an immediate, amazing return. So I would do the max of the match, and then I would go to your Roth next.
And that is what I told him, but he felt like with the 401k and then the 22% discount on stocks, he didn't know that he'd have enough for a Roth IRA, and I just felt like he was missing out on an opportunity with the Roth.
Yeah, I mean, I love the discount on the stocks. I don't like buying single stocks, period. So for me, I want to do the matching, and then I want to go to the Roth.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're on the same page.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he needs to not take forever getting this money in savings. He does need to get there quickly, because he's right. He does need to get this compound interest going quickly. So as quickly as he can do it while living a life in contentment, he wants to be urgent, but still stay content. You know, make sure you're content in life and that you're not always, enjoy your life at the same time. But he does need to get there quickly.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that helps us. I feel like I'm a winner on this one.
You are a winner.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Melissa. Well, folks, we are talking about living smart with our money. Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You just need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy to follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class or as a home study or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now, let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Our next caller is from Yuma, Arizona, and it's Eli calling in. Eli, how are you?
Not bad. How are you?
Oh, I am very thankful. How can I help you today?
Well, I had a question. I'm looking to give two of my sisters a good amount of cash, but I'm not really sure about their financial responsibility, basically their habits.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a thought to maybe give them kind of like a budget plan or something like that with a little bit in the beginning and put the others into like CDs or something for like a year. Basically give them a year to develop good financial habits before I give them the lump sum of the amounts that I'm going to give them. Or kind of, you know, something along that line. I wasn't quite sure how to proceed.
Yeah, I like the fact that you're concerned about the effectiveness of the gift, because we are called to be managers of God's money. It's not our money.
Yeah.
And so we're the stewards of it. And so just to aimlessly give it away is being a bad steward for God. We're running God Incorporated, in a sense. He's trusted us to run God Incorporated. So, you know, it's his money. And either way, no matter how you do this, there needs to be accountability.
Yeah.
And so I like where you're leaning that way. How you do it is up to you. For me, I like you sitting down and being proactive with a conversation. I love the budgeting piece that you brought up, the sitting down and thinking through finances. Maybe as you give it to them, you say, hey, we're going to sit down every other week or we're going to sit down once a month. But this money that you're giving them, because of their reputation or whatever has caused that, it's going to have some strings attached to it.
Yeah.
It's going to have some strings attached. You're going to have to sit down and have conversations. Somehow, there's got to be some kind of accountability. Now, whether you do that with a trust or whether you do that with I wouldn't recommend a CD.
Okay.
I think you want to stay away from too, you know, complex, anything that's real complex like a trust.
Okay.
I think you want to just keep it real simple and start off slow and then kind of go from there. But just make sure that there's accountability. I heard one time of a gentleman who had said, hey, why don't you read this book? And one book I'd recommend to you for these for your sisters is the TMMO, which is our Total Money Makeover book. Incredible book for them to get a foundational understanding of good finances from a third party voice.
Okay.
Because, you know, your voice is familiar to them. They need a third party voice to speak into their life.
Yeah.
And you know how that goes. But but in the middle of the book, I would put a $100 bill in there and give them the book and say, read it, or put it on like page 10 and tell them to read it. And see if they find the $100 bill. And maybe like in a couple weeks, like, hey, you enjoying the book? Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. You know?
Yeah.
And you see if they found the $100 bill. It's kind of fun. But how old are your sisters?
23 and 28.
Okay. Yeah, if this was like 14, you know, 14 and 16-year-olds, I'd be having them, you know, write a report on the book. And with the report, yeah, the quality of the report comes more money. But anyway, somehow put incentive to it, but you want to make sure the biggest gift you can give them is the gift of financial literacy. The best gift that you can give them is teaching them how to fish, not just giving them the fish.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're just giving them money, money's only going to be a magnifying glass of what's already there.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just saying, I didn't want to like basically fix a symptom instead of a disease. I don't want to give them money to get them out of debt if they're just going to jump right back into it.
Yeah, yeah. So I would sit down and ask them, can I help you with the budget, and can I be your budget accountability partner? Neither one of them are married?
One of them is.
Okay, so that one's a little tricky because you don't want to step in. And
yeah,
so that one's tricky. But offer your help, so however is appropriate with each one of them. And I wouldn't give them money unless you're confident that it's going to be sent for, it's going to be spent, and it's going to be given, and it's going to be used for God's glory.
Awesome. Thank you.
This email comes in from Nancy. It's a real short one. It says, do you have any endorsed people in Canada? Do we have any endorsed local providers in Canada? And unfortunately, Nancy, the answer is no. We've got a really good signal in Detroit, a great signal in Seattle and Portland that reaches up into Canada. And so we're thankful that we get to minister to those communities. However, we do not have any endorsed local providers for those particular geographic regions. Well, Barbara's calling in from Texas. Barbara, how can I serve you today?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for talking to me.
Oh, I'm honored.
I have a son who's 16. He just got a job as a lifeguard.
Cool.
And he recently got his driver's license.
Uh-oh.
So he's, yeah.
Mom's nervous.
It is. when we were growing up, we did the thing where you did whatever money you made, you do 10% to tithing, and then you put half in savings and half in long-term savings and short-term savings. So we did that,
mm-hmm,
and he was pretty good at it. In fact, he did enough, and when he turned 16, he was able to buy a car. We matched whatever he had saved. So he drives a Ford Bronco.
Okay.
But now that he drives and he has his own money. He kind of has forgotten that rule. He's made $1,100 from his lifeguard. But that doesn't include any money that he makes around the neighborhood. And he has maybe $30 left.
From the outside looking in, it looks like a short-term problem. His good behavior is outweighed as his bad behavior, financial behavior.
Well, yeah. He has very good behavior. I've never
trust him with anything. Yeah, I'm referring to financial behavior. I'm sure he's yeah.
Okay.
So I think, you know, his you've got more good long-term history than you do bad. So are you asking maybe how to help him and point him in the right direction?
I guess so. You know, lecturing doesn't work.
Yeah.
Giving him ideas doesn't work because he thinks he knows things and he wants to do this regardless of what I say.
What's he spending the money on?
Well, clothing.
Okay.
If you want to know something, he went to Dillard's the other night and spent $100 on a shirt.
Okay.
Yeah. And he buys these shorts online for $70.
Hmm. And why do you think it is at the core of why he's not listening to you?
Rebellion, maybe.
Okay. All right. Well, here's what I would suggest. You need an outside voice. It's familiarity. You've talked to him and instructed him for a long time. And sometimes you just need an outside voice to come in and speak and kind of give a clear vision. See, the Bronco worked because you had a carrot. You were dangling a carrot forever. And now there's no carrot. So we got to find the next carrot. What is it that's going to motivate him? The Bible says where there is no vision, people perish. Another version says where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. And that's what he's doing. He's casting off restraint because he has no plan. And so and I would recommend an outside voice, which means I would take him to like a conference, or I would take him, show him a video, or show him or have him read a book, and then have him write a report on it. And then you reward him very, very well for the report. Like, hey, man, I'll pay you a couple $100 if you write a report on these three videos or whatever it might be. But I just know that outside voice is powerful. I tried to get my kid, my little 10-year-old boy, Max. I've got two boys, Max and Jack. I spend the majority of my life maxed out and jacked up. I can tell you that for sure. But I asked them forever to choke up on the bat in baseball. I'm telling you, for years, I mean, since they've ever been able to hold a baseball bat, they've never done it. And last year in baseball season, I'm telling you, the assistant coach came over and told them once to choke up on the bat. And immediately they did it, and they did it all year long. I thought I was going to throw up. But you need an outside voice. And so here's what I think what I'm going to do for you. We have a new curriculum out that's fairly new. It's called Smart Money, Smart Kids. And it helps parents with this very situation. And I'm going to send that to you for free. And that's for you. And separately from that, I'm going to send you Generation Change for your son. That is a curriculum for him to go through, and for you to reward him, however you're going to reward him for going through that. That'll give you the outside voice. But Proverbs 22:6 is clear. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're older, they will not depart from it. We are raising good adults, not raising good children. So you've got to make sure that his vision for his life, his heartbeat, the way he thinks is all right, is all in the right stewardship mindset before he becomes an adult. Because you really care about him being a good adult, not necessarily a good kid.
Right.
So hang on the line. Barbara, we want to hook you up with these Smart Money, Smart Kids kit and also a Generation Change kit. So Amanda's going to give that to you as soon as we hang up. All righty?
Okay, well, that would be awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Barbara. Well, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're here as a free service. But in order to be able to continue, we need you to help by telling your friends and family to, one, listen to the show. Number two, check out stewardship.com. It's been an honor to serve you today. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Again, that's at Chris Brown On Air. Today, we've been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So until next time, let's continue to manage his blessings, his way, and for his glory. God bless you.